reassures me. Okay, I'm going to continue today looking at the question of radicalism and resistance. I spoke to you last week about the county associations and the idea they had that more people should vote. Very controversial idea at the time. Democracy is an extremist idea at this time. And I also spoke to you about the wave of radicalism after the French Revolution. The French Revolution, which was considered to be the beginning of a new world. That the old system, where before the revolution in France, you could be put in prison because the king didn't like you. No problem. So this was a great inspiration. And of course, the American War of Independence, again, a great inspiration to all those people in England who thought something has to change. The news they got from America and from France was encouraging. And today, I'm going to look at two or three stages now in the 19th century. So remember now, we are really in the Industrial Revolution. There are already some trains. There are more and more factories, and it's happening very fast now. And this is some of the big political events, the big events of resistance. 1832, the first Reform Act. I'm going to talk to you about it in detail. The first Reform Act said more people will vote. I will give you more details in a moment. In 1837, the beginning with the writing of the People's Charter, a set of demands, a list of things we want, the beginning of Chartism. Chartism, the first national working class political movement in the world. Encore une fois qu'on a la première révolution industrielle, on a le premier de tout un tas de choses. Normal. Okay? Extremely big, extremely exciting, a lot of different ideas, a lot of different problems. The link with the general strike. And so the rise and decline of Chartism. That's today's program. So, 1832, the first Reform Act. Just to give you another couple of dates, because there were three Reform Acts. Okay, 1832, the first Reform Act. More people can vote. 1867, the second Reform Act. Even more people can vote. 1884, the third Reform Act. After the third Reform Act, most working class men can vote. Right. Now, that's very interesting. First Reform Act, second Reform Act, third Reform Act. The big mistake, which you must not make, is what we call Whiggism. Whiggism is a mistake in history. Whiggism is the idea that history is automatic progress. You just wait and gradually things get better. And of course, when you see this, oh yes, there's the first Reform Act, and then later there's the second Reform Act, and then the third Reform Act, and then women can vote later. It looks a little bit like automatic progress. It is absolutely not automatic progress. So let's ask more difficult questions. First Reform Act, Second Reform Act. 35 years. 1832, 1867. There are 35 years between the first reform and the second reform. That's a lot of time to wait for automatic progress, isn't it? If you have to wait, oh yes, we will do what you want in 35 years' time. Is that okay? It's a long time to wait and a lot of fighting, a lot of campaigning. So it's not automatic progress. Second difficult question. 1832, the first reform. Why? Why not 1732 or 1632 or 1532? The first difficult question is, why did nothing change before 1832? Sometimes the questions, welcome, sometimes the question of why did something not happen is more interesting than the question of why did something happen. Ce qui n'est pas arrivé dans l'histoire est tout à fait aussi intéressant que ce qui est arrivé. Okay, because as I told you, last week, for 50 years before 1832, welcome, there are campaigns for change. More people should vote. In general, the campaigns do not say everybody should vote. That's too extreme. They say more people should vote. There should be more representation. Okay, so first question, why no progress before 1832. Let's look at the system before 1832. First of all, before 1832, elections were not democratic like we have them today. First of all, you can only vote if you are rich. There is a property qualification. Yeah. If you own land which is worth so much a year, then you can vote. However, the elections are still very competitive. The two parties, the Whigs and the Tories, they want to win the elections. The normal way to win the elections is to say, oh, I will take you to the other village to vote, and here's the money we talked about. It's very normal to buy votes before 1830. It's not complicated to buy votes. In any case, you vote in public. Who are you voting for? I vote for the Tories. I vote for the Whigs. And you're very frightened, even if you're rich and you can vote. You're very frightened because the most powerful country in your people in your region are watching. He voted for the wrong person. I will make life difficult for him. So it's not at all a democratic system like today.
Monsieur?
Yes?
Le vote, il est pas secret, c'est ça?
Non, absolutely not. Yeah. Si, à la fin du siècle, ça devient secret. It's a very important reform, the secret vote. Very important. Yeah? You can imagine, yes? Même aujourd'hui, je pense qu'on aime bien que ce soit secret. Hein? S'il y avait votre employeur à côté pour regarder si vous... These are important reforms. So really, there are elections, but it's absolutely not a democracy. It's a small minority who can vote. Secondly, the existence of corruption is massive. On peut s'acheter une place de député. Because some of the members of parliament represent a very small village with 5 voters or 10 voters. And so it's perfectly possible and perfectly common. If you are a very rich person, you say, well, here is my first son. He is going to inherit the land and be the Lord. Here is my second son. He's going into the church. My third son, he's going into the army. And my fourth son, oh, well, he's going to be a member of parliament. I will buy a seat for him. It's an extremely corrupt, old-fashioned system. This is what we call the pocket boroughs. A borough, c'est une circonscription. A pocket borough, c'est une circonscription qu'on a dans la poche. Donc, littéralement, qu'on a acheté ou qu'on contrôle parce qu'il n'y a que 5 votants et ce sont nos copains. Hein? So, the pocket boroughs are some of the members of parliament were members of parliament for pocket boroughs. Ça veut dire qu'au fond, il y avait 5 personnes qui ont voté pour eux ou quelque chose, rien. Hein? Secondly, some of the members of parliament were members of parliament for very small villages. Je pense que le record, c'est les 3 votants. And also, what about the new industrial towns, the new, very new towns like Sheffield, Manchester? Sometimes they had no member of parliament. Avant, ça avait été des petits villages, tout d'un coup. Mais il n'y a pas eu de réforme depuis 300 ans. Alors, dans les nouvelles villes, there were no members of parliament. So, there is a campaign for more people to vote. Alors, ce manque de démocratie n'est pas surprenant. Hein. C'est vraiment une période où l'élite n'est pas obligée de respecter la population. Hein. Vous avez faim le samedi soir, vous allez sur la terre à côté, vous volez quelques lapins. Quelle est la punition? La mort, pendaison. Hein? Oui, non, mais c'est vraiment une société où on rigole pas. Hein? Yeah? That if you go and steal animals from the Lord's land, you can be executed. Yeah, for poaching. Yeah, so, yeah. It's not really. It's not a modern, free sort of place. Okay, so the campaign after 1812, the campaign continued for reform. We want reform, there were meetings in every town, every week, and there were newspapers, radical newspapers, with debates and information about the campaign. Newspapers have always been important for every radical campaign or campaign of resistance. So here you had newspapers like the Black Dwarf, Le Nain Noir, and the Poor Man's Guardian, Le Gardien du Pauvre. Yeah, these were the newspapers which tried to do something about it. One of the big events in this period is in 1819. In 1819, there was a demonstration in Manchester, and it was a demonstration to have so that more people could vote for reform, a demonstration for reform of the election system in Manchester, in St. Peter's Fields. And the army arrived in August, and the army attacked, and a number of people were killed. C'est une vingtaine de morts. J'ai pas le chiffre exact ici. Okay, this was a big scandal. A big scandal, the Peterloo massacre. Alors, ils l'ont appelé Peterloo parce que Waterloo, quand Napoléon a été défait, c'était 4 ans avant. Alors ça, c'était à St. Peter's Field. Alors, ils l'ont appelé Peterloo, c'est une blague. Peterloo was a peaceful demonstration attacked by the army and a lot of people killed. This made people more radical. This made people more radical. And the campaign continued for reform. Every year, approximately, there was a vote in Parliament about reform, but every year the Parliament decided no reform. Quelque part, c'est tout logique, parce qu'un Parlement qui a été élu selon un système électoral, ils sont pas très chauds pour le changer, parce que ça marche pas. Yeah? Okay. So, even in 1820, one of the leaders of the Whig parties said, "I do not expect reform in my lifetime." Je ne pense pas qu'il y aurait de la réforme tant que je vis. Okay? So people were the reformers were very pessimistic. They said, "Oh, I don't think there will be reform." Now, remember the difference. This is the today, the laws change very frequently.
On peut toujours se dire, peut-être la prochaine fois, il y aura un autre gouvernement, ils vont changer cette loi. Parfois, ils ne changent rien, mais bon.
At this time, before this, depuis des siècles, il n'y avait pas eu de réforme électorale. So nobody was expecting reform. It was very, very slow indeed. And then, in 1830, another reform bill was proposed in Parliament. So, the campaign had continued for many years. Yeah, 1815, 1816, 1817, 1818, nothing happened. And in 1830, a big movement began for reform. In one of the organisations was the General Quand ils organisaient des associations à l'époque, ils n'avaient pas le sens de la formule. Alors ils l'appelaient l'union politique générale entre les classes inférieures et les classes moyennes. C'est pas très vendeur, hein. Ils étaient un peu comme ça. OK. There also 18th, that's 1829. Remember, 1830, revolution in France. In England, the Captain Swing revolt, I talked about a few weeks ago. And in every town there were big demonstrations and big petitions saying, we want reform. Now, not everybody agreed on which reform. The extremists wanted everybody to vote, even the women. But that was a small, small minority. Most people thought, well, we need more people to vote. So it was not really seen as an individual question. For example, workers living in Manchester would say, it would be good if some workers could vote. Okay, if I can't vote, well, okay. But it would be nice to have some workers voting so we have a voice. Yeah? So it's not completely a democratic spirit, because people are not used to voting. So there is a lot of support for a new reform. In Parliament, there is a debate. And one of the proposals is universal suffrage. All men must vote. And when they have a big debate, all men must vote. No, they mustn't. And out of, I think, je crois qu'il y a 450 députés, how many do you think voted? Everybody should vote. All men must vote. 13. Il y avait 13 députés qui pensaient que tous les hommes devraient voter. C'est mal parti, quoi. Hein? Ils sont assez contents avec le système. So, here is the situation in 1830. A radical movement in the country, everywhere, a lot of people wanting reform. But in the Parliament, no chance, really. The government decide, nevertheless, to pass a small bit of reform. They are successful in the House of Commons, la Chambre des communes. They say, okay, a little reform. Yeah. Pas seulement les ultra-riches, mais aussi les très-riches. Yeah. A little reform. Yeah. But the House of Lords, la Chambre des Lords, says no. So even a very, very small reform, it is not possible to get it. Now, when the people heard the news, the House of Lords has refused the reform. You mean the little reform? Yes, the House of Lords refuses even the little reform. And the result is that there are a series of
reform riots, il y a des émeutes qui explosent un peu partout dans le pays.
Now, riots, of course, the riot is the only possibility to express yourself at this time. Of course, today, if you organise a riot, somebody might say, oh, you should talk to your members of parliament, you should vote in the elections, yeah? You should write newspapers, you don't need to riot. But at this time, rioting is the only possible way of expressing yourself. You cannot vote. If you know somebody who can vote, they vote in public. Yeah, only possibility. The reform riots are very big. For example, in Wales, I'll repeat again, in Merthyr Tydfil, ...24 people are killed by the army. You know, the army attacks the riots and 24 people are killed. That's what I think, yeah. Quite a hot situation. And the debate continues about reform, about this small reform. Is it possible to get this small reform through? Now, the radical movement had a problem. You have these groups of radicals who say, yes, well, we want all men to vote, all workers to vote, all men workers to vote, anyway. And here the government is proposing a little reform. And you have a division in the radical movement. Some people say, that's a very little reform. It's useless. We don't want it. We should be against the little reform because it's nothing. We want a big reform. And other people say, no, we should support the little reform because it is a first step. Okay, so a division. And this, in every radical movement, there is always a division. If you want a big reform, what should you do if the government proposes a very little reform? Should you say, oh, that's good, it's a beginning? Or should you say, oh, that's an insult, we don't want it? Difficult question. On the government side, the government were very worried about the riots. In fact, one of the ministers of the government said, I support this reform because I am sure that it is our best security against a revolution. Yeah? So a section of the government believed that, oh, look, there's revolution in France, in Vienna, there's also revolution in Austria, also. If we pass a little reform, then everybody will calm down and we won't have a revolution. We don't want a revolution. Huh? And so that was one of the ideas. So all this continues. However, many sections of the government were against reform. Lord Russell said, universal suffrage and vote by ballot are measures which, in my opinion, are incompatible with the constitution of this country. Donc, c'est un des chefs du gouvernement. Il dit, le suffrage universel et le vote secret sont des mesures qui sont, à mon avis, incompatibles avec la constitution de notre pays. What's difficult about this is to remember that at this time, democracy is an extremist idea and not the normal idea. Je ne sais pas si vous connaissez le romancier Anthony Trollope. C'est un des grands romanciers avec Dickens et d'autres. Il était absolument opposé à la démocratie. Hein? It was a perfectly acceptable discussion. Right. The riots continued. In Bristol, 4 prisons were burned. Well, il y a 4 prisons d'incendiées à Bristol. Yeah, it's getting a bit hot, yes? All for the demand of reform. In Derby, another town, the demonstration went to the prison, opened the prison, and released all the prisoners. So you're having a situation which is not a revolutionary situation, but a pre-revolutionary situation. The elite are terrified. they tried to organize a big police force against the riots. At the time, if you wanted a police force, they are part-timers. Yeah? When you have a problem, you say, okay, I need 100 new policemen. Please, would you sign up for a month? You're a policeman for a month. The traditional way of making a police force. Not a permanent police force, but a temporary police force when there was a problem. So the government said, with the riots, we need a lot more policemen. And they found it very difficult to find people who wanted to be policemen. So, oh, no, I agree with the riots. I'm not going to come and attack the rioters, no. The riots were very popular. And in this situation, the government, under a lot of pressure, they voted the First Reform Act. Alors, vous vous rappelez, j'espère que Bill... C'est un projet de loi et acte, c'est une loi. Alors là, donc, sous une pression énorme, ils ont fini, après plusieurs mois, en votant cet acte. It's interesting, because the reform is very small, but it was necessary for the government to be terrified even to vote a small reform, because of course, the elite were thinking, if you give them this, it's a bad start. Yes, this is they were very frightened, because if you give the people a little reform, maybe they will have a big reform.
Juste avant le vote de la réforme, il y avait une manifestation de 200 000 personnes à Birmingham.
Par exemple, hein, pour vous donner. Now, so this Reform Act, this was not an ordinary law. The king was very unhappy. As you know, in England, the king must sign every law. So he accepted and signed the law. But normally, the king would come to the parliament to sign this law, and he refused. He refused to go to the parliament to sign it. He signed it very reluctantly. Let's have a look then at the First Reform Act. It was a compromise. It was very amateur. C'était une loi bricolée dans l'urgence. Par une élite terrorisée. Okay. Firstly, it did not introduce the secret ballots.
Pendant le débat, beaucoup avaient suggéré, oui, et en même temps, ce serait peut-être le vote secret pendant qu'il y ait.
It did not. It said no secret ballots. The number of people who could vote in the country... Before 1832, 450,000 people could vote at elections. After 1832, 700,000. As you can see, it's more.
La population du pays, c'est 10 millions quand même, hein? Alors, 15 millions.
It's a small beginning.
And voilà. Je l'ai en pourcentage, c'est bien.
Yeah. Avant la loi, 6,5% de la population avait le droit de vote. Après la loi, 9%.
Bon, on peut dire que c'est une petite réforme, quelque part.
Ce qui est intéressant, c'est que le livre d'histoire ne donne jamais ces chiffres-là. Ils disent toujours... Il y avait 13% des hommes qui votaient avant et 18% des hommes qui votaient après. Eh bien, bien sûr, il n'y avait aucune femme qui votait ni avant ni après. Hein. Mais bon, je pense qu'on peut considérer que les femmes existent même quand elles ne votent pas. Alors, je l'ai divisé comme ça. A lot of the pocket boroughs were abolished. Ces petits villages qui avaient un député pour 5 ou 10 personnes, ils ont enlevé ça. Hein? So the corruption was reduced. and new members of parliament were created for the industrial towns. The new industrial towns now had a representative in parliament. Leeds, Manchester, Sheffield, Birmingham had more representation. And that is the end of the story of the First Reform Act. So, what we can see is the reform is very small, but a lot of people were very enthusiastic about this reform. Dans une situation où les émeutiers sont parfois pendus, il faut être assez enthousiaste pour s'impliquer dans les émeutes. And so you had in many towns riots of a lot of people, we want reform. Despite the fact that the reform was very small. After 1832, a lot of working class people and radicals were disappointed with this reform because most things did not change. And this was one of the reasons for the establishment in 1837 of the People's Charter. The People's Charter was like a petition. And it said, we want a much more important reform. The People's Charter said, we demand universal suffrage, le suffrage universel.
C'est intéressant parce que quand ils en discutaient entre eux, il y en a qui disaient « Oui, il faut revendiquer le vote pour tous les hommes. » Ils disaient « Non, non, ça doit être pour tous les hommes et toutes les femmes. » Dans la version finale, ce n'est pas marqué si on parle des hommes ou des femmes. C'est simplement marqué « Suffrage universel. » Mais ce n'est pas un accident qu'ils ne parlent pas des femmes aussi. It's compromising.
So, the National Petition, the People's Charter, 1837... had six demands, six revendications. Number one, we demand universal suffrage. Number two, we demand the ballot, le vote secret.
En fait, si vous voulez,
à l'époque, on disait the ballot, mais en anglais moderne, il faut dire secret ballot. Ça, c'est le terme technique de l'époque, mais ça, c'est ce qu'il faut dire aujourd'hui, parce que sinon, personne ne va comprendre.
The secret ballots.
Again, obviously, a very, very important reform.
Je vais me faire un petit peu de place, je vais vous donner tous les six, parce que
les six revendications vont donner lieu au mouvement national de la classe ouvrière la plus grande de l'histoire avant, et même après, pendant bien longtemps, hein. This will be a movement which involves millions of people. So, six, I think. Universal suffrage. Secret ballots.
Bon, en passant, je vous dis que si vous allez voir les livres d'histoire dans notre chère bibliothèque, ils ont tous un chapitre sur le chartisme. Hein. Vous pouvez le retrouver facilement.
Number three, we demand annual parliaments. We want elections every year.
That's quite a lot in a modern country. It's not normal like here. Typical is America or France or Britain every 4 years. But the demand of the Chartists was annual parliaments. Every year, we want elections every year. Merde, j'en ai que quatre là. Où sont les autres deux?
Yeah. We demand the abolition of property qualifications for members of parliament.
À l'époque, vous pouvez être député seulement si vous possédez tant de terres ou tant de richesses. C'est une condition. On n'a pas le droit sinon.
And they said, no, we want to choose members of parliament who might be rich, who might be poor, but we choose. Now, pour l'élite, c'était logique de réserver à ceux qui avaient de la terre.
Parce que pour les riches, ils disaient, bon, l'Angleterre, c'est la terre. Alors, si vous ne possédez même pas de terre, comment vous pouvez être au Parlement pour gérer la terre que vous ne possédez même pas?
You know, they did not have a democratic idea at all. They didn't understand the idea of democracy. So it was natural. You have no land, so you cannot be in the Parliament of England because England is a land and you have no land. So it's impossible for you to participate. It's a real ideology, very, very strict. Tout comme 300 ans avant, on avait vu, on a le roi qui est convaincu qu'il est roi parce que Dieu l'a décidé. And here we have the situation where democracy appears to be impossible to the elites. Now, of course, their ideas go in the same direction as their interests. Yeah, this is very frequent. Yeah, and the last one, very, very important. We want members of parliament to be paid. We want a salary for members of parliament. Now, sounds a little unusual, but of course, if there is no salary for members of parliament, then only rich people can be members of parliament. Workers cannot, because they need money to live. Yeah? And so this is a democratic demand, that members of parliament, if they are elected, should receive a salary, because you need money to live. And if you're a worker in a factory and you are elected to the parliament, it's impossible if there is no salary for the member of parliament. You cannot go. Your children will have nothing to eat. Yeah? So although this seems a bit surprising today, it's a democratic demand. Yeah? It means we don't like the situation where only rich people can be members of parliament.
Ok, so there are the. Je crois qu'il y a un sixième, mais bon, je pense que ça suffit. Hein. Moi j'ai mis les six points, et je n'ai trouvé cinq. Bon, ok. Dites-moi, question.
Member of Parliament. MP, Member of Parliament, député. Yeah, member of parliament, the
membre du parlement, yeah. Même en anglais aujourd'hui, on dit MP. On dit MP. C'est pas police militaire. C'est member of parliament.
Okay, so here you have the demand, and they organized. They wrote it in 1837, and for 2 years, they organized meetings in every town. They organized a big petition. Yeah, would you like to sign to say that you agree with the People's Charter? And in 2 years, they collected 1.2 million signatures. This is the number of signatures, the number of people who said, oh, yes, I agree. Now, today, if you want to get a million... If you have a petition today and you have a million signatures, you're very happy. But today, you can use Facebook and email and the internet. Can you imagine getting all these signatures by going into the village? Oh, hello, tonight we're having a meeting in this village about the charters. Come and listen. Yeah, very, very hard work. And collecting the signatures organized a network of people, speakers, writers, newspapers, etc. In fact, Chartism, donc c'est le mouvement pour la charte. Ça c'est la charte, et le chartisme c'est le mouvement pour. Chartism really is like one of the first political parties. Ça agit un peu comme un parti politique. Il n'y a pas encore de parti politique, mais ça n'existe pas. C'est le premier qui est un peu comme ça. It has its own meetings, it has its own newspapers, and so on. And it has its own leadership. Si vous voulez une grande campagne, il faut des dirigeants. Il faut les trouver, il faut les former. They had a very good way of forming leaders. Yes? We have the Chartist newspaper. Will you sell our newspaper for us in your village? The last person is in prison. Would you like to sell it? It's a selection. Yeah? If she says yes, she is determined and courageous. Oh, so we'll watch her. Yeah. I say her, of course, at this time, the majority of Chartists were men, because it was difficult for women to be involved in politics. But there were a lot of Chartist women, and there were women's committees. At this time, it was very difficult to organise a mixed committee. Yeah, if you are in Manchester or Sheffield, and you want to organise political meetings of a committee, it's very difficult to say, men and women all together. It's very difficult, because the women will say, oh, well, my husband doesn't accept, or my father doesn't accept. But it was possible to have Chartist committees and Chartist women's committees. Now, separate committees were very frequently. And the Chartist women committees were very radical. So they went to the House of Commons. They went to the Parliament with the petition. They arrived at the Parliament with the petition. Say, here is the petition. 1,200,000 signatures. Will you discuss it? And one of the members of Parliament said, okay, listen, Parliament, let's have a vote. Shall we discuss this petition? Yeah, not agree with, just discuss. Shall we discuss this petition? Raise your hand if you agree to discuss this petition. Forty-six members of Parliament said, yes, we will discuss it. Well, we don't agree, but we'll discuss it. And 235 members of Parliament said, we don't want to discuss it. OK, donc une très grande majorité des députés ne voulaient même pas débattre de cette charte qui avait ce nombre de... C'est le mépris total, quoi. Il n'y a rien à dire, on n'a rien à vous dire, cassez-vous, avant qu'on envoie l'armée. Hein? Okay. So, very, very difficult situation. The leaders of the Chartist Convention were arrested. The leaders of the Chartists called for a general strike in 1839. But they had not prepared a general strike, and so in 3 days, it collapsed. Bien sûr, pour organiser une grève générale, il faut économiser de l'argent, hein, parce que si les gens ils ont rien à manger, rien à donner à leurs enfants, ça va pas durer longtemps. Okay, so that was the first big event of the Chartists. But the Chartists did not disappear after this defeat. They continued, and there were very big debates inside the Chartist movement. Many, many different ideas, many newspapers, many speakers. And the two big currents inside the Chartist movement at this period are the moral force Chartists and the physical force Chartists. Donc les Chartistes qui pensaient qu'on peut avancer que par la force morale, et ceux qui pensent non, il faut la force physique. Be careful, this is not a question of violence and non-violence. Aujourd'hui, quand on discute de la politique, tout le monde s'intéresse à est-ce que c'est violent ou pas violent. Au 19e siècle, les gens y voyaient tellement de violence tous les jours que ce n'était pas une grande question pour eux. La question était différente. Okay. C'est une obsession depuis 40 ans. Je sais, ils ont peut-être raison, ils ont peut-être tort, mais est-ce qu'ils sont violents? C'est la première question. Mais que depuis 40 ans avant, c'était beaucoup plus accepté, quelque part. OK, what is moral force? Moral force is, we can persuade the elite. So one group of Chartists said, listen, moral force is the best way to win the Charter. We can persuade the elites. We will give them the good arguments, and we can persuade the elites. Listen, members of Parliament, listen to me. Lords, aristocrats, listen to me. Here are the arguments. We can persuade you. And the physical force Chartists, so the moral force Chartists, they organise petitions and demonstrations, etc. Yeah, of course. And the physical force Chartists say, no, we cannot persuade the elites. We must frighten the elites. The French have the right method, 1830. Yeah? So physical force is the idea that we must force, we must oblige the elites to give us the charter. We cannot persuade them. Donc l'idée de la force de chartisme, de la force physique, c'est l'élite ne va jamais être d'accord. Laisse tomber l'idée de les convaincre, c'est impossible. Faut les obliger. Yeah? Now, how can you oblige them? Well, some physical force Chartists said, we need arms. We need a revolution with arms, an insurrection. That was a minority. Most physical force Chartists said, the solution is the strike. Yeah. Par la grève, les manifestations, etc. Parce que la grève n'est pas un outil violent. La grève, c'est un outil de refuser de faire ce qu'on fait tous les jours. Okay, so this debate continued. Yeah? And this is a simplification. There were many people in the middle, etc. The next big event in Chartism is a little later on the same year in Newport. Quelques mois après la première pétition, in Newport, there was an armed rebellion. The local Chartists organized 20,000 miners with arms. Bon, souvent les armes qu'ils avaient, c'était une pelle ou tout ce qu'ils avaient sous la main. Hein? They didn't have very good arms. And they fought against the army. 30 of the Chartists were shot, and the insurrection was not successful.
Il faut dire que l'insurrection a été d'un manque de discipline impressionnant. Hein? C'était pas. Quand on organise une insurrection, il faut être tête froide. On commence par où? C'est-à-dire, on y va tous en même temps, chacun où il veut. C'était un peu le bordel.
500 of the rebels were arrested.
Mais il n'y avait aucune exécution.
And that is interesting, because it seems that the elites were happy that the insurrection was not successful, but did not want to provoke the movement by executing the leaders. So, the first phase of Chartism, the first national petition, 1839. The second phase of Chartism, the Newport Rising, a few months later. And you could see the debate continues between Mr. Moral Force, here he is, and Mr. Physical Force, here he is. See, Mr. Physical Force says, your petition is stupid. 1.2 million signatures and the Parliament don't even want to discuss it. Moral Force is no good. And Mr. Moral Force says, your armed uprising in Newport, it was ridiculous. The army attacked you, 30 people were shot, it was a failure. Physical force is no good. So the debate continues. And in 1842, 3 years later, you have the third big event in Chartist history. And the first general strike in the world. The general strike began in Lancashire when the factory owners decided to reduce wages. Le commerce ne marche pas très bien, on va réduire vos salaires. Il est rare que les travailleurs sont contents. The strike moved very quickly. 5,000 people marched from one factory to the next factory. Will you join our strike? Yeah. Yes. 10,000 people marched to the next factory, 10 kilometres away. 15,000 people. It was a very explosive situation. And the strike continued for 10 days. 500,000 strikers. Many of them women. So that was the general strike. Very well organised. The Chartists had a special method to get support. They went to see all the shopkeepers. Donc ils sont allés voir tous les petits magasins. Rappelez-vous, il n'y a pas de supermarché, il n'y a que des milliers, des milliers, des milliers de petits magasins. And they went to the little local small shop and said, "Hello, Mr. Shopkeeper, do you support the charter?" And if she supports the charter, we have a poster in her window, and we say, "Everybody, we want you to buy your bread at her shop because she supports the charter. Do you support the charter?" And if he does not support the charter, we will boycott your shop. So the Chartists in 1842 organised a special campaign so that all the Chartists always went to the shops of the people who supported the Chartist movement.
C'est beaucoup plus dur aujourd'hui avec les hypermarchés, les supermarchés. Hein. Mais à l'époque, c'était vraiment de petits magasins qui gagnent pas grand-chose, d'ailleurs. Hein.
So a very, very effective method of organising them. The general strike began for defending our wages, but then the strikers decide this is a strike for the charter. Okay.
Donc il commence, ça commence par une revendication salariale, mais ça devient une grève pour la charte.
Okay. Now here's something I need to explain about the charter. You see, today we all have the right to vote in elections. And very often, we don't find this very exciting. Yeah? Today, very often, sometimes we think, well, okay, I'll vote, but if we change the government, will it really change our lives a lot? You know, some people say yes, some people say no. But let's say a lot of people think that elections do not transform our world today. This is why many people stay at home when it's elections. In my opinion, this is a pity, but I can see a lot of people stay at home. It's election. It doesn't change much. But remember this situation in the 1830s. No country in the world has democracy. And so the Chartists really believe if we have democracy, this will solve all our problems. Poverty will disappear. Unemployment will disappear. It will be a perfect society.
Parce qu'aujourd'hui, quelqu'un qui va vous dire, vous allez voir, après les élections, tout va changer, le chômage va disparaître, la pauvreté aussi, vous dites, oui, c'est ça, hein? Vous n'allez pas croire. Hein? But it's normal that because the Chartists have never seen democracy, they believe that it will completely transform society and it will solve all the problems of poverty, hunger, education, etc. Yeah? And so it's not surprising that they worked very, very hard to build a massive movement and took many risks, and many of them went to prison because really they believed, now of course elections do sometimes change things, but they believed it would change everything, yeah? That it would be the end of the domination of rich people. It was very much a political movement in 1842, the general strike. Most of the strike was in the north of England. And the government said, we will send the army from London, we will send the army to Manchester to stop the strikers. And when the army arrived at the train station in London, Euston Station, there were thousands of Chartists saying, hey, listen, soldiers, don't go to Manchester. They want you to shoot your brothers and sisters. Don't go to Manchester. Yeah? This is a pre-revolutionary situation. When the soldiers are discussing with the demonstrators, this is bad for the government. Governments do not like their soldiers to discuss with the demonstrators. So again, very, very high level of struggle. After 4 weeks, however, life was too hard, the strikers had no food, and after 4 or 5 weeks, the strike was finished. ...200 leaders were sent to Australia, not on holiday, to the prison camps in Australia, which were very, very hard. C'est ce qu'on appelle en l'histoire française la bagne. Le bagne, merci. Okay, yeah, very, very hard work. And of course, many people died on the way to Australia. Some of the leaders were arrested and put on trial. In one of the leaders, an Irishman, Fergus O'Connor, was on trial in 1843. But I don't know why, but the government decided not to be too hard on the leaders. The movement was going down, and the government, let's not provoke anybody. And so it was not so bad for the leaders. Okay, so Chartism arrives in 1843. The situation is not good. In 1839, we had a big petition. No effect. In 1839, we had an armed insurrection. No effect. In 1842, we had a general strike. No effect. It's quite depressing for Chartists at this time. And in the next 5 years, from 1843 to 1848, there are many, many, many different ideas among Chartists as what shall we do now? What is the solution? Many different ideas. Some Chartists say, the solution is to build the trade unions. Il faut construire les syndicats, il faut tout le monde dans un syndicat, comme ça, la prochaine grève générale, on va gagner. Some people say, no, this is not the problem. This is not the problem. The problem is that workers drink too much alcohol. Yeah? The first thing we must do is to have a big campaign against alcohol. And so, il y a un courant qui est établi, qui s'appelle le chartisme anti-alcool, temperance chartism. Il faut expliquer que c'est toujours un peu étrange pour nous aujourd'hui de voir des campagnes de gauche anti-alcool.
faut dire qu'à l'époque, quand ils parlent d'alcool, ils parlent de 3-4 litres de gin chaque soir. Hein. Ce serait à comparer aujourd'hui à une campagne contre l'héroïne ou quelque chose. C'est-à-dire qu'il y avait des morts fréquemment pour l'alcool. Ce n'est pas si ridicule que ça de faire une campagne contre l'alcool, quoi, parce que c'est vraiment... Hein, trouver des gens inconscients à cause de l'alcool, on ne le remarquait même pas. Hein, c'était tous les jours. Hein. C'est real drink, yeah? Drink, whoo, yeah? Bien sûr, en France, c'est de l'absinthe. Hein. Qui est illégal aujourd'hui. Oui. No, this is real alcohol. This is not, c'est pas un demi, hein. C'est un petit demi et un kir. No, okay, yeah. So, a second idea. Here are some of the differences. Ideas I am going to give you 4 examples. There are more. There are 10 or 15, but it's too many. Give you 4 examples in this very big movement. Je l'ai pas encore expliqué, mais je vais le faire. 1800. C'est dans la période dans cette période. Bien sûr, il n'y a pas une date exacte de fini. Donc, dans la période après qu'ils ont vu ces grandes défaites, et on n'avance pas. Hein. So, temperance chartism said the main problem is alcohol. Workers drink too much, so they cannot organize a good campaign. D'ailleurs, il y en a qui se sont dit, et puis, par ailleurs, on va convaincre les leads si on boit moins. On va les impressionner comme ça. OK? Yeah, oui. Oui, ce ne sont pas très convaincants. Hein? Yeah? Yeah, OK? Another group of chartists said, no, the solution is education. We must establish schools for our children and educate our children in a new way for a new society. And they did. They established a lot of Chartist schools, which were very advanced for the time. For example, in the Chartist schools, they did not hit the children. This was very advanced. In the Chartist schools, the boys and the girls learnt the same subjects. This was very advanced at the time. Third. En fait, on ne dit pas the land company, mais the land plan. The third idea. Some Chartists said, what's the problem? The problem is that all the workers are obliged to work in the factory. Life was better, I think, when we lived in the village and we had a farm. Donc c'est partiellement mythique, hein? C'est-à-dire qu'ils pensent que c'était mieux au village. Pas forcément, mais ils n'y ont jamais été. Hein? Hein? So what we're going to do is we're going to get 100 workers together in each factory, and we're going to collect money every week. And when we have enough money, we have 100 workers here, everybody gives me a little money every week. And when we have enough money, we're going to buy a farm, and then we will have a lottery. Yeah? A lottery, and the two people who win the lottery can have the farm. Yeah. So this is a method to try to avoid factory work and avoid capitalism by going back to the villages by buying land. Okay? And finally, there's church chartism. Some of the chartists said, what was the problem? Well, when we had the general strike, in every church, the priests were saying, it is evil to go on strike. You must stop striking. Jesus does not want you to strike. So what we are going to do is we are going to establish a new church. Là, c'est rare que les gens fondent de nouvelles églises. En général, les gens qui fondent de nouvelles églises, ils sont quand même convaincus. Hein? Parce que c'est du boulot. J'ai jamais essayé, mais peut-être un jour. Okay. So these are just some examples. But what does this show? First of all, it is still a very big movement with a lot of ideas, a lot of newspapers, a lot of debates. And really, debates which we will find again and again in all political movements. Moral force or physical force? Can we persuade the elites or must we force the elite? Even today, this is still a big debate in every political movement. Yeah, can we persuade them? Do we have to force them? Do we need to defeat the elites or can we avoid them?
Vous avez peut-être entendu parler un peu après 68, il y a des gens qui vont fonder des communautés à la campagne pour vivre différemment, yeah? pour éviter l'industrialisme plutôt que un affrontement.
So, in fact, all of these debates are... Yes, that's right. Yeah. All of these debates, they are very modern debates.
Yeah. Et enfin, notez bien qu'ils ne sont pas tenus dans des termes religieux. 200 ans avant, lors de la guerre civile, toute la politique, c'était religieux, etc. Maintenant, quand même, c'est pas dire qu'ils n'étaient pas croyants, mais ils étaient sans doute croyants. Mais le débat n'est pas religieux. Le débat est laïcisé.
People don't say, the problem is not, what does God want? The problem is, how can we win? Okay, and that's the rest of Chartism. I just want to say two or three things about the leaders. Et il ne faut pas trop généraliser aussi. Hein. Les chartistes n'étaient pas d'accord entre eux. Ils avaient dit cette idée. Ils étaient partiellement d'accord avec ceci, partiellement de désaccord avec ça. I just want to finish by saying a few words about some of the leaders.
Il y en a un dernier, mais j'ai oublié son nom. Je crois que c'est celui dont je viens de parler. Yes, Fergus Camp.
Here are three of the most important leaders of the Chartist movement. There were a lot of leaders, 50, 60, more. Remember, they cannot appear on the television. They must go to every village and town and speak. So you need more leaders. Yeah? If you have television and internet, one leader might be enough. You can see them every night. Yeah? Lots of leaders. Notice something about them. Two of these three are Irish. Yeah, O'Connor, O'Brien, typical Irish names. It's not surprising. Yeah, the Irish knew a lot about oppression and poverty, and so on. William Coffey is perhaps more surprising. He was a black man. There are not a lot of black men in England at this time. And that Chartism should choose a black man to lead the movement was very, very... it's the only example in the 19th century I can think of. The Times wrote about the black man and his party. Les Chartistes, pour eux, c'était le noir et son parti à lui. Okay, so these were the three of the leaders. And I'll tell you just a little bit more about them. J'ai quelques notes sur chaque. So, Fergus O'Connor, he began in politics campaigning against church taxes in Ireland. He established one of the most important newspapers of the movement, the Northern Star. The Northern Star was a newspaper which appeared every week. And every week there was a debate. Physical force, no, moral force. Oh, what should we do next? Yeah. Big, big debate. Also in the newspaper there were poems and songs because it was a mass movement. This was possible because now a lot of workers can read. Not a majority, but a lot of workers can read. Nevertheless, typically, everybody come to the pub on Thursday night, and on Thursday night, somebody will read the newspaper to you.
S'il n'y a pas de radio ni télé, vous allez au pub, il y a quelqu'un qui lit le journal, de ceux qui lisent mieux que les autres.
This is a mass movement with mass debate and mass newspapers. And finally, O'Connor, he was several times in prison for illegal newspapers. That's because the Northern Star was illegal. And he was also the main supporter of the land plan. Donc le plan de retour à la terre was mostly supported by Fergus O'Connor. William Cuffy was born in England, d'un père qui était esclave libéré, and William Cuffy becomes a tailor, un tailleur, and he joins the trade union, and finally he joins the Chartists. He was in favour of physical force. What else can I say about him? J'ai trop d'informations sur him. Okay. Yeah, okay. That's all I can say about William Cuffy. I will say a little bit more about him next time. And finally, just a few words about Bronte O'Brien, again a physical force leader. Okay. Next week I have a different subject to talk about, but I will talk about 1848. L'année de 48, which is quite important, before leaving the question of radicalism and going on to something else.
Merci de votre écoute et à bientôt.